In this episode, we hear from Ralph Holloway. Ralph Holloway is the head of Send Strategy and Innovation across Essex, and he talks to us about the recent Ofsted inspection, the new special schools that are going to be opening, and his vision in 5 years' time for the service to be working fully across Essex.
Ralph, so could you just start by telling us a bit about your journey and experience of working in pupil referral units?
Okay, so I've been at Essex for 26 years, and a good part of that was spent leading on alternative provision. And before that, being the guy who would turn up family exclusion meetings, representing the local authority, working with parents whose children had been excluded, didn't have a place at school. And as a consequence of that, obviously, a lot of the work was with Essex's pupil referral units. Went through a bit of a journey doing that, and then ultimately came out the other side leading. And in those days, pupil referral units were managed directly from Essex County Council. So before they had delegated budgets, we were their line managers. It was an interesting experience to being their manager, especially at the head of a pupil referral unit, because they probably won't forgive me for saying this, but sometimes they're quite unmanageable themselves. So it was a lot of fun, met a lot of great people on the way, a lot of parents who needed a lot of support because their young people had difficulties with school and we needed to sort out education for them and get them back on the right track.
Sets a really good picture for people listening of kind of where your passion has come from. And I know from speaking with you, you're very passionate about helping to improve things for children and families. So recently, obviously, Essex had inspection via Ofsted. What do you think were the biggest things that Essex learned from that, and what are we trying to now focus on?
Okay, so I'd like to think that we knew some, if not a lot of it already, Kieran. So, you know, we wrote a self-evaluation before Ofsted came, and obviously we're looking at performance all the time. I would say for me, the main thing is there are too many young people and parents for whom it feels like a struggle. And whether that's to get an education healthcare plan or whether it's to get the right support, parents and the young person's experience of an education is not a positive one, then that's something we need to learn from. So I think what came clearly out of the inspection was that not all of our education healthcare plans are good. And that's not about timeliness. So it's not about did we get it done in time, because I don't think that's the most important thing long term to a family and to a young person. It's does that plan accurately describe that young person? So would they look at it themselves and say, yeah, that's me. That tells me who I am. That tells me what I need for my education, what support I need for my education. So for me, the most fundamental changes that we need to make are making sure that young people and parents are at the heart of that process, the process improves, and that young people can look at their plans and look at it as a way of getting what they need in terms of their support. There's a consistency thing here as well, Kieran. It comes through the report loud and clear. There's a different education experience depending upon whereabouts you live in Essex, depending on what school you go to, depending what kind of school it is. And that's not to say that we haven't got some great schools. We have, but we've also got some inconsistency in which the ways mainstream schools work with young people, but also the way in which young people might access special schools, depending upon where you live in the county. So it's that consistency of approach that I think we also need to make a great deal of improvement in.
Yeah, no, thanks, Ralph. That's really good to hear from your perspective. One of the things I've learned from working within Essex for the last few years is something that's been developed to try and maybe bridge the gap a little bit, but you'll be able to talk a bit more about that. The autism hubs that have been created across the county. Can you tell us a bit about the idea behind that, and if there's any plans to maybe see if that's replicated in other areas? So for instance, SEMH needs or needs that might have been identified from the report.
So we were looking very much with those autism support centres and the hub schools, the special schools that work with them, to have a more local response and a more local provision for children, young people with autism, because we know that traditionally in the past and still to this day, there are still too many young people with autism who need to travel a long distance to be able to access their education. So the intention with the provisions was that we had something that was more local to that young person's needs, that offered access to a mainstream curriculum, but also offered that young person a space that was dedicated and set up for the needs of a young person with autism, and an expert staffing structure that gave them that kind of support. So we're looking for schools that already had a good track record of working with young people with special educational needs and had an ability to take that a little bit further. Beyond that, if it was just a case of young people going into those provisions and there being no wider benefit, I think we would have failed. So we see the vision very much as those provisions becoming, as you said, like hubs that support other local schools to improve their provision, so that all parents should be able to look at their local school and say, I know that I'm going to get a good offer of education. They're going to understand the needs of my young person. They're going to be able to work with them in a way which means that they can thrive locally without having to travel long distances to get to school. So at the moment, we're looking across our other enhanced provisions, and we've got them for various needs, speech and language, social, emotional, mental health needs, hearing impairment, and looking at all of those different needs and thinking, is there something additional that we could support those schools to be able to provide for their local colleagues in other mainstream schools? It happens already to a certain extent with the social, emotional, mental health schools. So the GROW projects that some people will know about do offer outreach support. Got a great example in Basildon of Gilgrove Infant School, which hosts a provision. And they do a lot of work with schools that might refer a young person for support. And rather than take that young person out of their school, let's put the support into the school where they're already at and help them to skill their staff up to be able to have a better offer in place for their young person. So we're looking across all of our provisions that already exist to see how we extend that capacity, but also thinking, where have we got gaps geographically? So there'll be parts of Essex that still young people have to travel significant distance to be able to access a specialist provision. So the intention is to look at, have we got the ability to create new provision, which means that young people don't have to travel, and that we can raise standards around the provision for SEND in all of those schools locally.
Really pleased you mentioned the GROW project as well, because we've done a podcast with Steve Whitfield, who goes into a lot more detail around that as well. So that links really nicely. And also just about, I mean, what I'm getting from you, Ralph, is that it's all about collaboration and making sure like the best parts of different schools. So if we take special schools, for example, some of the good practice that happens there, a lot of that could potentially be transferred across other settings. That's always been my personal view as well. So I'm really pleased to hear that that's kind of working that way.
We're looking for a generosity of experience so that, you know, if you've got the expertise within your school, you share that. It doesn't sit and remain in that one school. It's shared across the system. And I think that's what we're looking to develop in Essex. And, you know, GROW's a really good example of how that works.
If I can go to like special school provision now, what's the plans for the future in Essex? Because I mean, most people will know that, you know, special school places in Essex are at a premium. It is sometimes tricky to get in because, you know, the need is quite great. What are the plans moving forward for maybe future provision?
Okay, so there's two parts to this, really. The first part is over the next 2 years, we'll see four new special schools opening across Essex. That's as a result of the free school programme. So we've got a school for children with social, emotional, and mental health needs that will open in Chelmsford. That's going to be called the Sir Geoff Hurst School. No prizes for guessing who that's named after. And a school for social, emotional, mental health needs in Harlow as well. So those were both developed through the free school programme. Then there's going to be a school for children with autism in Chelmsford as well, sharing a site but not premises with the Sir Geoff Hurst School called Hawthorns. That's going to be run by SEACS Trust, who already have Friffwood and a number of other special schools in Essex. And then finally, we've got the Chatham School, which you'll know about, close to your heart. Being run by the Marketfield Trust and opening on the Rickstone site in Witham. Because they're all delivered through the free school programme, Essex County Council doesn't control the build. So we're at the behest, really, of the Department for Education in terms of when those schools are finished. But it's looking likely 2022 opening for the majority of those schools. And it'll be, you know, it'll be a valuable addition just in terms of numbers of places. It adds over 200 new places to Essex. There'll be some new boarding provision as a result of those schools as well. So that's stage one. That's really delivering the last part of the Essex Capital Programme for SEND. Second part of that is we were about to do this before COVID happened, to look at all of our existing special schools, look at their physical capacity, look at their ability to potentially take more young people based on that space, and then look at what are our forecasts for the pupil population across Essex across the next 5 to 10 years. So we know that there's been a year-on-year growth in the number of young people identified with SEND. That naturally happens as the population increases. There's going to be a significant population increase over the next 10 years because of the amount of housing development that's going to be taking place in Essex. A number of new large garden communities taking place, which will mean inevitably we're going to need either expanded special schools, new special schools, or specialist provision within mainstream schools that serves the communities in which those young people live. So the next step is really for us to perfect our forecasting system and to look at our physical capacity across our special schools, then do some gap analysis around where might we need new provision. And I guess also talking to parents about what their aspirations are for. You know, do parents see a vision of more special schools, or would parents say, actually, we would like to see more mainstream schools that meet the needs of our young people rather than you building more special?
Yeah, I know there's a lot of work going on with the Essex Family Forum, and we spoke with them as well, and that'll be good for parents to hear. So there's so much detail in there, Ralph, and there's obviously a lot to consider. But in all of this, how important are the voices of young people? Obviously, I'm coming from that background and making sure their voices are heard.
I would say it's the utmost importance, Kieran. So, you know, we could build, or the DfE could build, a lot of new schools, unless we've actually understood from the young people themselves what it is they want from an education, what it is that we need that school to deliver for them, then I'd say we've just built a building and there's no soul behind it. So it's the needs of the young people that drive what those schools do. So, you know, you asked me about young people. I've had an email from Adam. As you know, Adam Dean is going to be the head designate for the Chatham School today, asking me how we begin to engage parents and young people who might be potential pupils of that school in the future. So it's really about thinking from that perspective, what do young people need? What is it in terms of the design of a school that we've got any control over, that young people tell us they want? Then thinking about what their curriculum needs, you know, what are their aspirations for life? And I said earlier on about our response to Ofsted, how do they want to see an education healthcare plan work for them? Would they like to have an education healthcare plan, or would they like to have a system that's more responsive and meets their needs without having to go through that bureaucratic process of assessment? And we want to increasingly hear the voice, not just the parents, because the Essex Family Forum is fantastic, but we also want to hear, and I think this is why I'm talking to you for the Multi-Schools Council, how do we hear the voice of young people more? You know, there's many ways in which we do it, either individually, through individual conversations with young people, but also collectively. I think what you've brought for the Multi-Schools Council is the ability to influence us and to influence individual schools as well around the way in which they work with those young people and the provision they put in place for them. So for me, it's the single most important thing, that we must listen, and not just listen. I think once we've listened, 12 months time, those young people need to see that something has happened as a result of that listening process.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad you said that, Ralph, because I think, again, just from years back, maybe it might have been that wasn't the case. But now I know, working within the team more closely, that there are people like yourself who really want to listen, but not just listen, make something happen. And that's the most important thing. So you've kind of really mentioned it throughout, Ralph. But just to summarise, in 5 years' time, where would you like to kind of sit back and say, right, this is where we are in Essex and this is what we're doing now?
So I'd firstly like parents to be able to say our experience of the education system, the SEND system, has been a positive one. I'd like young people to know that their plan, if they have one, describes them well. But I'd also like young people and parents to be able to say, we didn't need an education healthcare plan to get the support that our young person needed, because the local school had it all in place. Much more inclusive as a system, much more ability to share the expertise across schools, a much more collaborative approach, and really for young people to know that they're really, you know, that we hold them as central to the system, and thinking not just about their education in the here and now, but what comes next. So preparing for adulthood for me is massively important, and we don't see the fruits of that immediately. So it's thinking the difference we're making now, what does that look like in 5 years' time when young people have been through the system, left school? Are they being as independent as they possibly can be? Have we given them the tools they need to be able to get, leave school and not fall off a cliff edge? Because we know at the moment there's too many families who describe to me the point at which they leave school, they've lost their support system. So how do we help to make sure that that doesn't happen in the future? So 5 years' time, I just want to see happier parents, happier children, really, Kieran, to sum it up in a sentence.
That's really, really clear. And I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. And I know parents and children are going to get so much from what you've said. So thank you very much.
No worries.
Everyone is different and special in their own way. We should be including everyone. So let's start today.